Blog Talk Radio. Alright, alright, alright. You're gonna learn today. Alright, alright, alright. You're gonna learn today.
Alright, 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 alright. Shalom and good evening. Welcome once again to another episode of Swear the Truth Presents Bible Talk. My name is Mashaba. I'm one of the teachers with the ISBHPK, that is the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge. Let's welcome you to another one of our episodes, another one of our shows that we have actually been broadcasting for the past 12 years. We just recently went over our 1,000th episode. So, again, welcome, and welcome to the show. The purpose of our show is to try to help wake up the 12 lost tribes of the nation of Israel. They're scattered here throughout North, Central, South America, the so-called Negroes, West Indians, Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Dominicans, Cubans, North American Indians, Seminole Indians, Argentinians, Chileans, Brazilians, Colombians, Panamanians, and so-called Mexicans. Those people of Negro, Indian, and Hispanic descent that have been scattered throughout the Americas, you actually are the genealogical seed, the biological ancestry of the 12 tribes of Israel. It was your foreparents, your actual ancestors, your blood DNA that Moses led through the Red Sea. In the Exodus out of Egypt, and that all the people of the Bible was written by your foreparents to you, all right, to give you your history, your culture, and the prophecies of God concerning what God was going to be doing with his people. Welcome. You're joining us now as I'm in part 10. Excuse me. I'm actually in part 10. Of my set apart series that we're going about, understanding that the word set apart, when we look at the word holy, the first definition that we get from the word holy is to be set apart, to be sanctified, to be chosen. That, and the Lord God had told the Israelites that they were to be holy, that they were to be set apart from the rest of the world, and that the way they worshiped, the way we think, the way we celebrate. And serve God would be different from how any of the nations did service to their gods, and that it would be separate. It would be different. The foods that we eat, given to us by the dietary law of God, would be different from the foods that people of the world would eat. Our moral laws would be different and set apart from any of the moral laws of the rest of the world. Our civil laws, how to run a society. What God considers to be civil will be set apart and different from all the rest of the world as the nation of Israel, and that these laws were given to the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, so that we might be an example to the rest of the world of how to live a godly life, how to live a life that truly is dedicated to God in everything that we do, and worship God in our heart, our spirit, and our minds, that we were supposed to be the example to the rest of the world of how to be godly. We were not supposed to be letting the example be left to East Indians, to where people now get into yoga, getting into or the people of Thailand or Korea or whatever, the Shaolin Temple, that those monks, that now that's the way to inner peace, with the chanting or what have you, or with the drugs that people get caught up into, with peyote, ecstasy, weed, cigarettes or whatever. That our example of our lifestyles was supposed to be totally set apart from how the people of the world do their things, so that the people of the world would now have an example of how to live. They would have an example of how to do things godly. But unfortunately, we as Israelites, we slipped from our job in that. We slipped from that. And we started, and as continue to this day, to be influenced by the world instead of being influencing the world. As I'm joined by my two nephews, could one of y'all please find a scripture that says, "Ye are the salt of the earth." That the judgments, the commandments that God left for the Israelites through Moses for us to follow, what we were supposed to influence the world, not become influenced by the world. And just like in the days of Adam, if you've been listening or need to catch up on our series, that even Adam, there was a nation called Adam. There was a people called Adam. They were supposed to have dominion over the world. They were supposed to subdue the world and keep the world and be the example to the world of how to live. And as we get back to that, as we get back to Adam, we're going to get back to see how he fell from that grace also, and that he started to get influenced by the people of the world and not be the influencer in the world. So anybody have that scripture for me?
Ye are the salt of the earth.
Yeah, be loud, Carl.
Ye are the salt of the earth.
All right, so this is Christ speaking to the disciples, being the 12 tribes of Israel, representatives of the 12 tribes of Israel. He's telling that ye are the salt of the earth. And the Israelites, we are supposed to be the salt of the earth. And what does salt do to any food? It gives it flavor. Right? That salt is one of those seasonings that it doesn't absorb the flavor of the food that is put in. It actually gives salt or flavor to any food that it might come in contact with. If it's watermelon, if it's your french fries, if it's a stew, your meat, beef, if it's celery, you can taste the salt, you can taste it in whatever food you put it with. It doesn't get absorbed into the flavors of the whatever it's put with. You can actually taste it. It's separate. So when Christ is telling the Israelites here and the disciples that we're the salt of the earth, meaning we were supposed to influence the rest of the world, not be influenced by the rest of the world. And again, so I hope you join me in going back through our Set Apart series here on blogtalkradio.com. This is part 10. If you go to blogtalkradio.com, when you pull that webpage up, go to the search box and type in Mashaba, M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A. That will bring you to our Blog Talk Radio page and our episode page. And there, I believe they have our thousand episodes there that you have access to. You can also go through Google Podcasts. Now, I like going to our podcast, our Blog Talk, through Google Podcasts. And the way you would do that is you can go on the Internet. Go to Google Podcasts. When that comes up in the search box, type in www.blogtalkradio.com. They're going to bring up the blogtalkradio.com page through the app or through the website. When that search box comes up, type in Mashaba, M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A. And that will bring you to our Sport of Truth blog talk page through Google Podcasts. If you click subscribe, then whenever we have a broadcast, you'll be able to you'll see it right there. Now, I do like the Google Podcast method because on a Google Podcast, you can fast forward and rewind through any part of the show that you want to. Whereas if you just go through the blogtalkradio.com episode page, you don't have the ability to fast forward or rewind. And say you listen to the show and you get a phone call, when you resume the show, come back to the show, it's going to start you all the way back to the beginning. And we in general do about a 2-hour show. So if you got to like an hour and 30 minutes, hour and 35 minutes, and got that phone call, when the show starts back up, it's going to take you all the way back to the beginning. So I do recommend that you check us out through the blog talk, through Google Podcasts. Also, please don't forget, please check all of us out, isbhbk.com. Please check their website out. They did an excellent job of their website. It's got links to all of our YouTube pages. It's got links to various businesses that we have that help support the ministry. And also links to our blog talk page and high holidays and events that are coming up. All right. So with that out of the way, let me go ahead and give this disclaimer right now. All right. I'm glad people are tuning in, whether you're doing the live broadcast, where you called in, where you're coming in through the computer. Or you might be catching the archive show. Just like I said a couple shows ago, if you're coming from a highly religious church background to listen to this show right now, this show is going to offend you. I'm not doing this show to offend you maliciously or on purpose, but because your background has not been in the Bible. The things that we're going to be covering today, it's going to be highly offensive to you. And then I'm just putting that disclaimer out right now that there's going to be a lot of things that are going to be brought through scriptures that you have never learned through religion. And if you've just been living the American lifestyle where it's this supposedly the Martin Luther King dream, Can we all just get along and everybody peace and love and hair grease and it's all just one big kumbaya? I'm putting this claim out right now. You know, I've been doing a lot of TikTok viewing, and it says if you're not ready for this, like it's a spoiler alert. You might want to swipe left, swipe right, swipe up, swipe down. This again, it's not intended to be offensive. It's not intended to maliciously be offensive. But give me real quick St. John chapter 8, verse 32. St. John chapter 8, verse 32. The book of St. John chapter 8, and verse 32.
St. John chapter 8, and verse 32. Sorry. St. John chapter 8 and verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
All right, so it says, we shall know the truth, and the truth is going to make us free. And we're going to find out tonight that as we've learned the truth of God through the scriptures, that's going to make a lot of people free from the lies and the influences that we've become prisoners to in the worldly concept or in even the religious concept. All right, that the purpose of the scriptures is to free you from the lies and the influence that the world has, that the world is pushing. As we get ready to come into the we're in the last days. As we get ready to return, we're waiting for Christ's return. Now give me St. John 17 and 9. Now let's get St. John chapter 17 and verse 9.
St. John 17 and verse 9. Give me a second.
Mm-hmm.
I pray for them. I pray not
I'm
for
sorry,
them.
17.
Oh.
17 verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
Right, so here Christ made a prayer to the Father to sanctify people, to cleanse their minds with the truth, and that he goes on to proclaim what the truth is. God's word is the truth. Now, truly, I'm making a distinction in the uses of the words. Truly, everybody does have their own opinion. Truly, everybody judges things differently. You have your own judgment. You have your own opinion. You truly are entitled to your emotions and what you feel. But we're not dealing with people's emotions. What we're dealing with is the truth of God, and that God's word is the truth. So, again, spoiler alert, disclaimer, tonight's class, if you have really been heavily laden down with trying to fit into the American lifestyle, if you've really been laden down with a real religious background, I don't care what religion you might be coming from, that as we let the Bible talk, as we let the scriptures talk, a lot of people are going to get highly offended because you've never heard the truth, that the truth, the words of God, have been hid for ages, every generation. Matter of fact, give me that real quick. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Let's go to the book of Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 25.
Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the disposition of the Most High.
Dispensation
of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God.
So that God makes ministers, that the word of God might be fulfilled. Go ahead.
Verse 26, even the mystery which has been...
Stuff from 25, I can just read down.
Verse 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Verse 26,
mm-hmm.
Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints.
That there's been a mystery. That there's a knowledge of God, an understanding of God that's been hid for ages and for generations. So a lot of things that we do bring out on the blog talk, a lot of things we bring out in our YouTube classes, your grandparents never heard of before, going back generations. Your parents might not have heard it before. Your great-great-grandparents might not have heard it before. And so that a lot of the traditions and customs that we grew up with, we're going to find out that they were never in the Bible. As much as they might have seemed Christian and wholesome and good, when we actually get into the Bible, actually read the scriptures, we do find out that a lot of those customs have nothing to do with God. A lot of those traditions have absolutely nothing to do with the Father. That, yeah, they are family legacies. They represent your family, but they have nothing to do with God. So there's been a mystery that's been here for ages and generations. So as we go through these things, and your grandparents might have grew up in church. You might have grew up in church every Sunday, every Wednesday. You went to Bible study. You was in the youth choir, the whatever choir you might have been in until you got to the big church or what have you. The prayer beads and the kneeling and everything that you might have been involved with. But one thing you never got was the actual scriptures, where we actually read the scriptures. We're actually reading what the scripture says. With that being said, when we left off in our last class, we left off in Deuteronomy chapter 29, and we was going over the covenant that Moses was reminding the Israelites as we were just about to enter into the promised land, of the covenant that was established between us and God for us to obey his voice. And that was the title of our last class, The Voice of God, that in marrying us, God married the nation of Israel, the Israelites. He actually made a contract, a covenant, and we're called his wife. He's our husband. And again, there's too much information to try and recap right now. Please go back and check out the series that we've done, catch yourself up. I want to go ahead and jump into where we're at right now, where I'm trying to find a good springboard. I'm going to have to go back to Deuteronomy 29 just for a little bit. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 29, and we'll start at verse 13. All right, I'm about to go back and recap. I didn't want to, but I'm going to have to so we can springboard into the rest of the topic. So if anybody's got that, we're going to be starting from here. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 13, and we're all going to read through verse 28.
Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 13.
And what I'm going to do is I'm pretty much going to let the brother Glenn just pretty much read through. I'm making little interjections every once in a while. But I want to get this read. Go ahead.
That he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, that he may be unto thee a God, as he hath said unto thee, and as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And again.
Yeah, this covenant that was established, that, yes, there was a covenant made with Noah and the nations. That's where we have the rainbow. That was, and that covenant was, God would never flood the whole entire earth again with water. Now, there's still floods, but it's not flood the whole entire earth, like it did in the days of Noah, where God reset everything and reset everybody. This covenant now is being established with the Israelites. And I know there's a lot of people with a church background or what have you that want to talk about the new covenant. We'll get into that, but right now we're going to establish what was the first covenant. So this is Moses again reminding the Israelites that the purpose of the covenant was to establish the Israelites today for a people unto himself, that he would be the God of the Israelites. You can read through the Bible. The Ammonites had a god called Molech. Moab had gods called Baal, whatever. The Philistines had gods. The Edomites had gods. All nations had gods. But God said he would be the God specifically to the Israelites. Okay? Reading on, sir.
Verse 14. Neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath. 15. But with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day. For ye know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we come through the nations which ye passed by. And ye have seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Most High our Lord, the Lord our God, to go and serve the gods of these nations.
To go and serve the gods of these nations. To go start doing and worshiping and honoring the gods of these other nations, the influences, the cultures of these other nations, that we start doing things the way the other nations do things, which God calls abominations. That the way the other nations served their God, if it was eating from whatever they was allowed to eat, whatever their marriage customs were, wherever their holy days were, whatever their ways of pleasing their God, that God hated all of that. It was not this thing of that's taught in the world today of, well, really, I think it's all just one God. It's just that you choose to call him Allah. Another person chooses to call him Jesus. Another person chooses to call him Jehovah. Another person chooses to call him Buddha. But really, I think it's all just one. We just gave different titles to it. No, that is not the case. That is not the case in the least part. God really did separate the Israelites that he would be our God and that we were not supposed to be influenced by any custom or any thinking or any ways of the other nations. Go ahead.
Middle 18. Lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood.
Wormwood.
And it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart.
Now, again, I want to come back and read this part here because most I wanted all this written down so that when these curses come to pass on us as a nation, or when people hear these words, they're like, no, I'm not going to be cursed. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm my own person. I want to have my own liberty. I want to feel free to do what I want to do the way I want to do it. And no harm will come to me. I'm responsible for my own destiny. I'm responsible. I'm taking fate by the hands, and I'm gonna be responsible for my own happiness. I'm not gonna attribute my happiness to a God. I ain't gonna put myself in a box, a small box. You're not gonna label me this or label me that or put me in what you expect. I'm gonna do what I want to do. And remember, God, the Creator, did give us free choice. He did give us free choice. But at the same time, he also said, look, we all got free choice. And if you choose not as Israelites, if we choose not to follow his way, not to do things his way, that there's going to be consequences. There's going to be curses. That was going to happen to our nation. And here he's getting specific to a man, woman, family, or tribe. That now they're going to bless themselves in their heart saying, that ain't going to happen to me. I've got my weapons. I've got my security. I've got my, the modern day world, I've got my credit. I'm good. I've got a pantry. I've got a pantry set up. I've been prepping for 20 years now. So let it come. I'm good. It's nothing bad's gonna happen to me. Reading on.
End of 19?
Yeah.
Though I walk in the imagination of mine heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. Verse 20?
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man. And all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him. And the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. The Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of law, so that the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land shall say, when they see the plagues of that land and the sickness which the Lord hath laid upon it, that the whole land thereof is brimstone, salt, and burning, that is not sown, nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Adam and Zeboim,
mm-hmm.
which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. Even all nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done thus unto this land, that meaneth the heat of this great anger?
What meaneth the heat of this great anger? Yeah, remember that we as Israelites were given the promised land, the land of milk and honey. Look at how we live now. Even if you live in a gated community, it's nothing compared to what God had blessed our people with. When we came out of Egypt, did the 40 years in the wilderness, and we came into the promised land. I don't care what gated community that you live in, it cannot compare to what the Father had given us to the nation of Israel. when he brought us into the promised land. I don't care what you got. I don't care if you're Floyd Mayweather with his millions and billions of dollars, if you're Michael Jordan with his millions and billions of dollars, and whatever estates you might have built, with your 23,000 square foot, 50,000 square foot mansions, it doesn't compare to what the Lord gave the nation of Israel when we came out of Egypt into the promised land. And for now, for us to be living the way we're living, we're not looked at to be the priest of God. We're not looked at for people don't look at us to say, let me follow him because he knows how to please God. Let me go and ask him questions because he's going to show me what it takes to please God. All we can do is recite at this general, as a nation, all we can recite is the idols and the people we looked up to in this world. Nothing to do with the Father. Nothing to do with the Most High. That we know how to follow, like I said, the American idols. We know how to follow the stars, if you will, the Hollywood stars, the music stars, the entertaining stars.
The celebrities.
We know how to follow them. But as far as being the people that should be followed that know how to get close to God, you can't, that unless it's like singing some gospel music, maybe. But as far as being able to give instructions on what it takes to please God, how to get God in your life, we people do not look to us for that. That's why we have from psychotherapists, psychiatrists, we go to soothsayers, tarot card readers. We're trying to overcome by the next new drug, the next new sexual escapade, the next new what have you. But we are lost, totally lost when it comes to the knowledge of God and what it takes to please God. We know how to be good politicians. We know how to be good, again, whatever religious group you might have grew up in. We know how to be good if you grew up in a gang life, street life, urban life when it comes to that. You know how to be a good Crip or a Blood or a Disciple or a Latin King. If you join, you go to college, you know how to be a good member of that college. If you join a fraternity, you know how to be a good member of that fraternity. You know how to be a good member of whatever union. Maybe you're an electrician. You know what it takes to be a good electrician in that union. If you're a good plumber, a good carpenter, you know what it takes to be good in those areas. But to actually know what it takes to please God, to have the knowledge of what it takes to please God and be able to pass that on, we don't have that. And that was the job of the Israelites because we kept getting caught up into the influences and the ways of the other nations, that it must be something wiser, something deeper. It can't be just as simple as just obeying God. There's got to be more to it. And really it wasn't. So if we get to this point where now we're caught up into all these other influences like we are to this day, and now we don't look for God for safety. We look for if I get a bigger gun, if I get a bigger knife, if I move in a more secure neighborhood, I can only imagine how many security devices people have put in their homes now, that this is going to keep me safe. Cameras, infrared, motion detectors, electric fences, that this is going to save me. This is going to protect me. Not God. ADT is going to protect me. The neighborhood security watch is going to protect me. But not God. And now a lot of us are afraid and going crazy out of our minds behind COVID or the next new pestilence that they're talking about, monkeypox, or whatever might be going on, that now we got so much fear and we're looking for security, whether it's the vaccination, whether it's I'm just going to eat herbs, I'm going to become a vegetarian, that I'm going to do all these other things, but what I'm not going to do is, because I don't know how I turn to God to get help from God. How do I get God on my side? What actions do I need to show God to get him on my side? We don't know that. We have no clue of that. So reading on.
Verse 25, then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods whom they knew not, and whom he had not given unto them.
Gods we knew not. So we come back and think about here our time here in America. When the Father made the covenant with us, like we're reading, we've been reading about here. We didn't have a 401c or a 401k program. We didn't have a 501c3 that was going to be our security. We didn't invest in bitcoins and cryptocurrency, and that was going to be our security. Right.
Bring it up. Oh, and you have all these life insurances, car insurances, home insurances,
motorcycle insurance,
all these different ones. That's like, okay, anything that could happen to me, it's no problem. That's as long as I'm paying this. You know, I'm just paying money. Everything will be taken care of.
I'm covered.
And so with the add-on to the insurances, but I had talked to somebody about this yesterday. We got all this insurance, like the situation I'm dealing with. We got all this insurance, all these promises of, like, if anything's happened, you're covered. And then once something does happen and you have to go through all these loops and holes, it was like, why get the insurance? Why? Everybody's always asked, why do I have insurance if it's no help to me at all?
Because
that was
money.
It.
It was about
protection. Yeah. It's about paying them to hoping that they'll help and then them taking the money like that.
Great points. That a lot of these things that we lean to for security today, this was not the things that the Most High gave to our forefathers when we came out of the wilderness and come into the Promised Land. Everything that we look to for security today, that was not part of the covenant that God made with us when we came out of Egypt. That we look for, this is going to be my safe. This is what's going to cover me in the event that something happens, because you never know. When we came out of Egypt, we never had that mentality of you never know. Well, we knew if the Father's with us. When you go back and do that archaeological studies, biblical studies, biblical history studies, we didn't have locks on our castles and our estates. We barely put up fences. We just put up a landmark. It wouldn't even be a fence. It'd be a landmark. So when you saw the landmark, you knew what land you was on. It wasn't because it was all roped off, barbed wire, electric fence, guard dogs walking the perimeter every whatever, the security patrol teams having a horseback or jeep or whatever, that we got to make sure we're safe. And we had to have floodlights and the whole nine. That was never part of what God had established with us when we came out of Egypt and we're coming to the Promised Land. That's not how we lived. But today, we look at the things that we turn to for security and for safety. It's got nothing to do with the Father. It's got nothing to do with us serving the Creator and keeping the covenant that was first established with us. Now we're serving how other nations look for security, how other nations protect themselves, how other nations, how they do. So a lot of us are like, you know what? We need to join the Masons, and we need to be join up with the Chinese, because they're going to either the Japanese yen or whatever the Chinese money is. We need to invest in that because they're going to be the next superpower. They're going to be the next economic superpower. So we should tie our wagon to them, so we can have security. So we can make sure we're going to be safe. We can make sure we're going to be straight. We need to go ahead and get with communism or get with whoever. Because we've got to take care of ourselves. These are how the other nations secure themselves. This is not the security of the covenant that God had established with the Israelites. But because this is what we got turned to. We didn't want God's protection. We wanted to be protected the way the nations are protected. I want to be able to see my protection. I want to be able to see it. So if it was a gun, I could see it. If it was my bank account, I could see it. It was my college degree. I can see it. I can see these things, and that's what's giving me security. But the Israelites are supposed to worship the invisible God, the God who made everything. That's what we're supposed to put our faith in. But we got turned. And for verse 27, and the anger of the Most High was kindled against us, against our land, and to bring upon all these curses that are written in this book. What verse are we at? Is that a verse? Yeah, let's read verse 28 now.
Verse 28, and the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation and cast them into another land as it is this day.
And what land are we in today? June, what's the next date?
June
16th, 2022. Where are we at?
America?
Yeah. in another land, as it is this day. We're not in the promised land. We're not in the homeland. We're not in the land that had all security, all health, all everything possibly imagined and needed. We're not there now. We're over here trying to compete with the Joneses. Now, because of that, again, the title of the class was Set Apart. Pray not for this people. That because our people continually don't turn to the Father, don't to return back to the covenant, the contract that we made with God, that now this is where we at. So now let's get Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 14. And again, I hate that I come across apologetically, because I know that a lot of these scriptures that we're going over, you've never been over before. You didn't even know they were in the Bible. And all you can do is you know, like they say, if you kill the messenger, you're supposed to kill the message. All we're doing is reading the scriptures. All I'm doing tonight, again, is reading the scriptures and bringing these things to light, that this is all-loving God who just is just here to grant you the desires of your heart, to just make sure life goes your way, the way you want it to go, for what you've imagined in your mind. That is not the God of the Bible. That is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're worshiping another God. So, Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 14.
Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 14. Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble.
I mean, this is God telling Jeremiah. That's why Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. Therefore, pray not for this people. They don't want to do things my way. We don't want to worship God the way God wants to be worshipped. We want to keep bringing what we want and what we think of in our minds and what we consider security, safety, wisdom, what have you. And now we're in all this type of trouble. Now we're screaming that Black Lives Matter. Now we're screaming as gas prices keep going up, as food prices keep going up, and there's less and less jobs, as there's less and less food on the shelves, he says what? Do not pray for this people. And, you know, as your church service says, pray for all the people of the world. Pray for everybody. Pray for the postman. Pray for little Billy. Pray for everybody. Pray for peace in the Middle East. Pray for this. Pray for that. But what is God saying right here? We're going to read it again. And, again, for those that have read, and I know for a lot of people, this must sound occultic. This must be the most wicked thing you've ever heard. That God said, do not pray for this people. And we're going to back the scripture up. We're going to back the scripture up. One more time. Give me St. John 17 and 9 one more time. Awesome, but let's read this.
Jeremiah 11, verse 14. Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble.
For the trouble they're in? They didn't come to me in the first place to even keep them out of trouble. Now that they're in trouble, now they want to cry and pray to me? I'm not, God is saying he's not listening. Now, let's back this up a little bit with the New Testament. Let's read John chapter 17 and verse 9. And let's see, did Christ pray for the whole wide world? Let's see.
St. John chapter 17 and verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine.
I pray not for the world. This concept that we've learned through religion, Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, the concept of what we consider to be as been taught to us as a good person, this is Christ saying, I don't pray for the whole world. I'm only praying for those that you gave me. And among those that you gave me, if we refuse to return back to the covenant that our forefathers made with God, in coming out of Egypt, that we're going to serve him and him alone, And with our heart, our mind, our body, and our soul, with every inch of our being, we're going to do things his way. We're going to judge things the way he judges things. Because we don't do this, this is why we're going through the problems that we're going through. This is why we're having the hell that we're going through. This is why we're being set apart with all these different types of punishments that we're facing. Again, as a nation, as a nation. From there, let's get Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 16, and somebody else give me Jeremiah chapter 11, or 14, verse 11. All right, let's get Jeremiah 7, 16, and then Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 11.
I have 14, 11. Jeremiah, you said 7, verse 16?
Yes, sir.
Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 16. Therefore, pray not thou for the people.
Again.
Oh, for this people.
I'm sorry. I didn't read again. But we see the Father saying in several different places to this prophet several different times, do not pray for this people. I'm not going to hear it. They didn't want to hear my words and my instructions and my judgments. They didn't want to be in bothered with it. I'm not going to be bothered with them. Y'all, I was exclusive to you, the nation of Israel. I gave you what I never gave nobody, no other nation on the planet. Your nation is the only nation that ever heard my voice. And y'all going to take that for granted? And now it's all about what you come up with in your mind? It's all about now what you come up with, how you think it should be? When I spoke directly to you, and I've never spoke to any other nation, no other nation can ever say they heard the voice of God. That was exclusive to the Israelites. And then we're going to get to the point where we refuse to obey, but now we're going to be influenced where other nations do things like this. I'm going to be free. I'm a free thinker. Cool. When what you're doing leads you to trouble, God's saying, do not pray for you. Do not pray for them. Don't live to cry for you. Read again, please. Jeremiah 7, 16.
Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 16. Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them. Neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee.
You know, intercession, a lawyer, a mediator, trying to say, well God, an advocate. Well, at least they're doing this. Don't he get credit for this? God says, I'm not here. Don't do that. I'm not. God ain't feeling it. God's not dealing with that. So as all we keep coming into trouble, and things keep happening to us, they're going to continue to keep happening to us as a nation until we turn back and serve God the way he wants to be served. Let's get Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 11.
Jeremiah 14, verse 11. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good.
More time, I'm sorry.
Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good.
Was that it?
Yeah.
Good enough for me. Pray not for this people for their good. I mean, brothers, sisters, it's written. We don't want to do things God's way, but we keep steadily want God to do things our way. And we want God to understand our way of doing things. That, and again, when we go through a lot of different religions, there's many different religions that use the prayer beads. Buddhists use prayer beads. People in Islam use prayer beads. Catholics use prayer beads. And they think by the repetition of prayers that they give, that that's going to make God hear them. What was Christ's answer reply to that? Let's get that real quick also. I should have had this up earlier. still here, y'all. Give me 1 second. Where's that at? Oh, man, come on. Let me put one time, I'm sorry. Where is this? Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. Matthew chapter 6, we're going straight to verse 7. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. When ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking.
So, the reason for the prayer beads. That's like when you go to confessional, in some churches you go to confessional, and they'll say, we'll say 18 Hail Marys, 45 Our Fathers, and this, that, or whatever. And the prayer beads is used to count, and even Buddhists use it, to count how many times you've chanted the same thing, how many times you said this exact same prayer. That's what the prayer, the prayer beads, the necklace with the crucifix on it or whatever, is to count how many times you've been saying all these different prayers. But where did Christ say that custom comes from? Christ said that comes from the heathen. The people who have not made the God of the Bible their God. So you send the thing that you send up all these prayers, and that the more prayers you send up, God must go hear. No. See, God, it's funny how people don't put together that God is a just God. But God being a just God, and not just for you, but God being a God of justice, if you won't hear him, please tell me why he's supposed to hear you. If you're going to be stubborn about your way of doing things, then why can't God be stubborn about his way of doing things? You refuse to want to listen to what God has to say? Please explain why God's supposed to now listen to your long-winded whatever, your many repetitious prayers about what you want, how things should be, and how you're not happy. How is that justice? How is that fair? It's not. Let's get Jeremiah 15 and 1. Let's get the book of Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 1.
Jeremiah 15, verse 1. Then said the Lord unto me, through Moses and Samuel, stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight, and let them go forth. Verse 2?
I just want to give verse 1. So Moses and Samuel, because how many times did Moses pray for the Israelites when God was ready to smoke us, even coming out of Egypt? For as many times we wanted to go back to the Egyptian lifestyle, the Egyptian way, what we were familiar with, what we knew, what we were comfortable with. How many times did Moses have to stand and pray to God, don't kill them? God, you gave your word to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God, if you smoke them and kill all of them now for their rebelliousness, for their stubbornness, for wanting to keep following their own dreams and their own minds, then the nation's going to know that you ain't all-powerful. Because now this people beat you with them being that damn stubborn. We see where Jeremiah, it's repeatedly said to Jeremiah. Let's get Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20. Let's get the book of Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20. Let's get the book of Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20.
Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20. You Yahweh down.
Wisdom crieth without.
And it says wisdom cries without. And we know the wisdom that's being cried is the words of the Most High. The teaching of the Most High, the actual scriptures is crying out. God's wisdom is crying out. But a lot of people don't want to hear God's wisdom because it doesn't go with their dreams. It doesn't go with what they got in mind. It's not going with what they've come up with or what they consider to be happiness, peace, joy, love, what have you. So I don't want to hear God's word. I'm not trying to hear it. But yet you have those that keep trying to push God's word. Wisdom cries without. Go ahead.
She uttereth her voice in the street.
This is why you see the brothers and sisters on YouTube, street teaching, or evangelizing, as the Bible says. Out here trying to warn people through the scriptures. This is what the Bible says. This is what God says. We have to get ourselves back right with God. I'm not yelling scriptures, getting the biggest speakers and mics that we can get so that maybe you might hear the word of God like was heard at Mount Sinai, which can't be replicated. But, yeah, we do get loudspeakers so that, yes, maybe the word of God can penetrate. Yes, we get very vocal. Yes, we get very loud. So that you might hear God's word, because the only voice people hear is the voice in their own head. And that's all you'll follow. In spite of the scriptures being read, in spite of the Bible being read. So wisdom cries without, utters her voice in the streets. Go ahead.
She cried in the chief place of concourse,
where you're doing your business at. Where you're trying to accomplish your business, there's somebody there trying to give you scriptures. Where you're trying to accomplish and do what you're trying to do and get what you're trying to get done, there's somebody there with scriptures trying to say, according to this scripture, I wouldn't do that. Well, according to this scripture, where y'all putting that together, it's not going to work. If this ain't being put together this way, this really ain't going to work for everybody. We better start doing things this way. In the chief place of concourse, that's where you're doing your business. In some places, it might be the business downtown markets, the downtown areas, where you have a lot of foot traffic. And everybody's taking care of some type of business or a bus relay. You might hear the brothers out there at a bus relay. But you're trying to take care of your business, and somebody's trying to give you scriptures. Reading on.
In the opening of the gate in the city, she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity?
God's wisdom is crying out. And it's crying, how long, you simple ones, are you going to love simplicity? How long you'll keep rejecting God's word and keep doing things what's right in your eyes? How long? We're screaming again, Black Lives Matter. We're screaming for the economy to change. We're screaming for we need higher wages, higher pay. We need more system with daycare, childcare, or what have you. There's a baby food shortage in America. Babies are going hungry. We need help. Biden, do something. Government, do something. And we're turning to everywhere but God. We're turning to everything but God. You got people now getting double, triple, quadruple masters. This piling up more and more college debt. I mean, ridiculous amounts of college debt. Because somehow the next master's degree, that's going to be the ticket. That's what's going to pull you out of what's going on.
Everybody thinks they deserve the American dream. You know, white picket fences, nice neighborhoods, country homes, what they're called, what's that, beach houses?
Yeah.
Beach houses, everyone should be CEO or some high-paid job. As long as I get this degree, this is guaranteed to me.
Guaranteed. I just seen a TikTok today. They have an automated fast food chain. I mean, completely automated. Flipping the burgers is done by robots. Dipping and dunking the fries is done by robots. Putting the condiments on the burgers is done by robots. I know y'all been to Walmart lately.
All self-checkout.
It's damn near all self-checkout.
Two lanes for really big.
It might be two lanes.
The workers at Walmart don't even go to the lanes. I mean, I have one person standing there making sure if someone needs to to scan, like, alcohol and make sure, like, someone's got the IDs, everybody, and all that. That's one worker. Everybody else is really just walking around, or you have a lot of people. If anything, a lot of people are in the back of where returns are, where the returns go, where it's like, I want to return this, or return this, or return that. You've got, like, 10 people back there. Other than that, it's all just, or what they've done now is they've switched to, for the workers, they switched to overnight stocking, because you don't see no one during the day, but there's got to be somebody putting stuff on the shelves at night.
Cool. And then we see they're walking around filling orders for pickup. It look at the handwriting on the wall. He was reading Jeremiah 1, Isaiah 1. Can you pick up where we left off at? I believe in verse 22. Isaiah chapter Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22.
How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning?
A scorner is somebody who keeps rejecting the word of God so they can go by their own opinion. They keep finding ways to reject or finding excuses why they don't have to listen to the Bible, but they can follow their own opinion about what they think is right. That what they put together in their mind, according to what they see, how they're receiving or putting things together, that's what they're going to go by, not the scriptures, not the Bible. That their sense of right and wrong is still determined by their senses, how they feel about it, what they think about it, a dream they might have had about it, that determines what is right from wrong, but not the scriptures, but not the words of the Most High. Reading on.
23. Turn you at my reproof. Behold.
What does God say?
Turn you at my reproof.
Somebody's trying to correct and give you the scriptures and show you God's way of doing things, showing you God's judgment. Turn you at God's reproof. Go ahead.
Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you.
God says, I'm going to pour out my spirit unto you. Everybody, please listen very carefully to this next line. How does God pour out his spirit onto you? Because a lot of y'all think that the more incense you burn, that's you being more spiritual. You think the more you wear white clothes, that's you being more spiritual.
Instead of watching late night church service.
You're watching late night church service. That's you being more spiritual. You really think that you listen to none but gospel music now. That is you being more spiritual. But God says, turn to my reproof. I will pour out my spirit onto you. Reading on from there.
End of 23. I will make known my words unto you.
So how does God pour out his spirit unto us? By making known his words to us. That the opportunity for there to be a class somewhere, YouTube, Blog Talk, all types of different podcasts, Patreon, TikTok, Facebook, I mean, anywhere you turn, there's somebody, there's a Hebrew Israelite trying to give you some scriptures.
You would be able to get his spirit, or people trying to act of the Holy Ghost or whatever it may be. That's possible. You wouldn't be able to get his spirit if you weren't getting the word.
Thank you. Kai?
Say it loud.
Well, I said, you got a lot of people like, you know, I feel the Holy Spirit. I feel holy. I feel, you know, I feel Christ-like, yada, yada. God's next to cleanness or godliness. So if I just clean everything, you know, I'm next to God. He's basically saying no matter any of those things, you can't be in the right spirit if you're not getting the words of the Most High.
Impossible. It's impossible. Reading on.
24. Because I have called and ye refused.
God keeps calling and the Israelites, we kept refusing. God kept sending his prophets, trying to give Israelites his word. Before we got kicked out of the promised land, the prophets was daily trying to give Israel, hold up, don't get greedy, treat your brother right. Remember, God's about love your neighbor as you love yourself. Before you make sure you're straight, you make sure your neighbor's straight. Before you just make sure you're good, because the thing of the world is what? Well, how can I love anybody else if I don't love me? How can I help anybody else if I don't help me first? That really I got to make sure I help me first, then I might be able to help others. You have to have self-love before you can give love. That's all of the world. That is not one scripture. That everything God gave the Israelites was about love the Most High with all your heart, all your soul, and love your neighbor the same way you love yourself. That's the whole message of God. We refuse to listen to that. We refuse to put that on. Reading on.
Middle 24. Mm-hmm. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set a knot at all my counsel.
Set a knot means you mean nothing. Like all the scriptures that might be addressing a person, they might think it's a suggestion. Not a commandment, not an order. It's a suggestion. All right, sure. Yep, okay. I'm going to tell you whatever you want to hear. Will you please shut up? I'm going to keep living my life the way I'm living my life. So it says we set at naught all of God's counsel, but we can listen to the advice of any and everybody else, but don't let it be the Bible. Don't let it be the scriptures. Reading on.
And with none of my reproof.
I'm not trying to hear that correction. I think somebody got something personal against me. I'm not trying to hear. I don't see that. No, that's not the word of God. That's not God. That person has something against me, so F him too. F her too. Why do they always have to talk the Bible anyway? Why do they got to always bring scriptures anyway? Whatever. I don't want to hear that. Okay. Reading on.
Verse 25. Oh, no, sorry. 26. I also will laugh at your calamity.
And now, what does God say? Not only does God say, don't pray for them. Don't lift up a cry for them. Do not pray for their good. He also says, what?
I also will laugh at your calamity.
I'm going to laugh at your calamity. I got to get this. We're going to look up calamity. We are in Proverbs chapter 1, and we're in, what verse you in, 28?
Proverbs 1, verse 26.
All right. It's all good, it's all good. All right, cool. So this definition of calamity. Anybody want to read this, please?
Calamity, any great misfortune or cause of misery, generally applied to events or disasters which produce extensive evils as loss of crops, earthquakes, conflagrations, defeats of armies, and the like, but it is applied also to the misfortunes which bring great distress upon individuals. The deliberation of calamity are rarely wise.
That's funny. Calamity is basically like natural terrors. It doesn't matter whether you're scared of it or not. There are things that happen to you. It's like you got no control over. Like it's the earthquakes. Earthquakes don't care if you're scared or not, or whether you think you're above it or not.
Who says earthquake? Who sends the earthquake?
The Most High.
The Most High. So it's all, and all that. Your terror? Guess who's laughing?
But wait, huh? Oh, it's just what to call it. It's like a calamity isn't just like some small thing or like something you're scared of might happen. Something happens that distresses you, or what to call earthquakes, loss of crops, things that you can't control. And no matter what you have done, you couldn't stop it anyway, even if you wanted to. That's all I was getting at. It was like, it's like a disaster, but kind of above.
That's the Webster's 1828. Let's check the Webster's 1913. This is the Webster's 1913.
Who's got this?
Yeah. Any great misfortune or cause of misery generally applied to the events or disasters which produce extensive evil, either to communities or individuals, a state or time of distress or misfortune and misery.
So when you have distress, You're just all stressed out. You can't figure it out. So I need a drink. I need an escape. I need a pill. I just need something. Guess who's laughing when you're in that state of mind? God is. The same guy who says that when he gets to that point, don't pray for you. You don't want to listen. You got your own plan. So when somebody was trying to give you scriptures, trying to direct you in the past and the way the Most High wants things done, you rejected because, you know what, I ain't got to worry about that. I'm secure. The way I'm doing things, look at how I'm living. So, no, I don't need that. I'm good. Go get that to somebody who needs it. Me and mine, we're good. I don't need that. Okay? So when that distress hits your mind, guess who's laughing? Guess who's sitting on his throne in heaven laughing at you? God. Because when it was your turn to listen, take heed, no, you used to be serving something else. And that became your God, your safety, your security. That became your everything. And like I was bringing out, I'd like to go back to, not for the cause of, but I like the reference, Katrina, Hurricane Katrina. How many people in Louisiana, in New Orleans, Louisiana, if you was a prepper and had a pantry buried in the basement, when them levees got exploded, all the preparations you had, what just happened to them? It just got flooded. If you was hiding your money in under a mattress, like a lot of country folk do back down there, if you had a stockpile of guns in the house, how many people was it was all when they was on top of them roofs, when they get saved, all you had literally was the clothes in your back. No, you can't shoot what? No. You used to be trying to avoid water moccasins and mosquitoes and crocodiles or alligators, snakes, mosquitoes. All the security and safety you had in your house was underwater. This is my house. This is my property. It was underwater.
How afraid you were, the water didn't stop.
No matter how much you was praying, oh, God, please stop it. When the water was just at your ankles, God, what's going on? Please stop it. Got to your knees. God, please say, got to your waist. As you had to try and get upstairs. God, please stop it. Please stop it. Please help. Till somehow you had to climb up top of your roof to get saved. All your preparations didn't mean a damn thing. Didn't mean nothing. When somebody was trying to warn you, stop this drug, stop smoking dope. Stop chasing the dollar and just being about yourself. Stop selling drugs to your own people. Stop this shit. New Orleans at the time was the murder capital of the world. Everybody was serving themselves. Everybody was trying to get a rate contract, cash money, and no limit. These niggas are making money. We need to make our money. What did that help you with? Were you on the roof? Not a damn thing. Not a damn thing. And guess when that calamity hit? Guess who was laughing? Well, according to the scripture, we're going to read again. The Most High was laughing at you. You don't want to listen. You don't want to take heed to his word. You're not trying to hear his reproofs. So when these strange calamities start happening, guess who's laughing at you while you're crying there? Your heart is broken. The thing that you love the most, the idol you love the most. How many people down there in New Orleans at the time of Katrina had cars sitting on 26s? Had them Chevrolets sitting on 26s, sitting on 24s. Yeah. dripping with jewelry. Because remember, that's when the Hot Boys, New Orleans, bling bling. None of that saved you. And while you sitting there worried about it all, guess who was laughing at you? The Creator, the Most High. Because when he's trying to talk to you, trying to give you his words, his warnings, look out for this, you're like, I'm not trying to deal with that. I ain't got time for that. I got my own shit I got going on. Okay. Let's read that again, verse 26, whoever had it.
Verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh.
I will mock. Let's see what mock is. So read this one. And it's got to be loud. Whoever's going to read it.
Mock. Properly to imitate.
So what is God doing?
Imitating.
We just sit there. Oh, almost everything.
Imitating.
Guess what God is doing?
Imitating.
Oh, almost everything. He's mocking you. Go ahead.
Mimic.
Go ahead.
Hence, to imitate in contempt or derision. To mimic for the sake of derision. To deride by mimicry.
He's imitating you. The fact is, oh God, please help me say this. Okay, God is doing the same thing. He's mocking. Read it. Go ahead, Sean.
Oh, go ahead. I don't care.
So we got a whole other definition we'll get to for verses 19, 8,
to deride. To deride. To laugh at. To ridicule.
To treat with scorn
or contempt.
The first part is the best part. I like that, Sean. Thank you for bringing
it. It just reminds me of, you know, certain somebody likes to mock a lot, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I hope that certain somebody, as we read the scripture, is reminding you of God. That when your calamity, your distress, your misfortune, the trouble and evil is hitting you, guess who's laughing at you? The Most High is. Because when it was time to take heed to his word, you had other things to do. When it was time to get what he has going on, you were too busy. So now when you're sitting there, again, I'm going to use Katrina for example, that water's rising and all your possessions, everything you worked hard for years is not underwater. God's like, well, I'm busy. Oh, you rang? You were praying? Oh, my bad. You know, I got caught up. You know, remember how when I was having class trying to give you the words, you know, warning you about this, and you had other things to do? Well, when you was crying that saved this thing that's precious to you, I'm laughing also. I got other things I got going on. No, I'm not looking at you. No, I ain't hearing you, because when it was your turn to listen and to hear, before I brought this, you had other things to do. It wasn't about my covenant. It wasn't about the covenant that was made back in Egypt. You had other things to do. So cool. When your trouble comes, I'm ridiculing you also.
Well, to add on to your saying too, because it's like, well, because, you know, the Most High he brought the calamity, so it's not even just about, like, he's not listening to you, but, you know, when it's like, well, I have other things to do, or it's, you know, he already gave you the warning, he already gave you the warnings, he didn't listen to him because you were stuck on you, and so it's almost like saying, like, oh, God, please stop, like, water's rising. He's like, I know, I put it there, and so I know, oh, I got this car accident, I know. Who you think sent the other car? That'd be more of the mocking than it would be just like the Most High actually laughing at your calamity, because he is, and in a way he is,
but it's not because it has something bad happen to you. It's because he made that bad thing happen to you because you didn't want to just lock in, or you didn't want to listen to what he had to say. You didn't want to give him the time that you could have avoided all of that. The calamities are always like the big wake up call. That car that you had saved. Your thousands and thousands of dollars working for the world and doing whatever you had to do to make that money to get that piece of material instead of giving you time to the Most High. Now he'll take it away from you, and that's the wake up. Like you really should have just did this. I would have just given you, because we always talk about that. I would have just given you the car anyway if you would have followed what I was trying to have you do in the first place. But if you wanted to do it how you wanted to do it, I'm going to put this calamity in your way to take that away from you. Now, if you're now, they don't want to go do it again or whatever, you're going to follow. Now, it's like, you're going to learn. You got to go, you got to do it how I want you to do it. You got to listen to what I have to do. You have to give me that time. You're going to reap the benefits of it. And
that's what I was saying. Keep on the what's it called, the thing about Katrina. Like, how many people do you think after their houses, after the aftermath? Like, oh my God. Oh God. Yeah, you're calling out to God. It's like, wait, but he's the one who did it. It's like, why call to God at that point? Should have heeded what he was saying the first.
I was working at South Park Mall when the first Katrina, they call them refugees, but when they first hit San Antonio, and they were just looking for anywhere. And it was like a flood of all these people coming through the mall, and I'm literally at the East Norris car that we had, and firemen came up to me. These weren't just ghetto niggas, just poor. I know that's the thinking a lot of people have. Oh, they must have just been in ghetto project, poor ass people, can't speak proper English, just ghetto. So that's what happened to them. Fireman came up to me. Brother, can you help me? Can you help us out? We lost everything. I remember this one woman came up to me. She was a lawyer. She was like, look, I got nothing, but I'm telling you, I'm a lawyer. And you can see her, the dress, the skirt and everything she had on. Dirty as hell. She's like, I lost everything. The ATMs weren't working. The water came up so quick, so the ATM, we couldn't get our money out. All we got is what we have this is all we have. This is all we have. I will never forget that. But when God was talking, where were you at? When God was trying to get you ready, where were you at? Here's the 1913 definition of mock.
Mock, to make sport, contempt, or in jest, to speak in a scornful or jeering manner.
Who's doing this now?
Okay.
Well, I guess it's about the end of this class.
Let's keep reading. Let's go back to Proverbs 1:26. We're gonna read down. We're gonna finish this chapter and call this one a night.
Proverbs chapter 1, verse 9. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 26. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Proverbs 1:27. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Verse 28. Then shall it come upon me. Call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. 29. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despise all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them.
It almost takes death to stop a fool from being a fool. To stop somebody from being stupid, just following their own way, following their own mind, following their own opinion, following their own whatever, you damn near got to kill them. And that means the Most High damn near has to, they damn near got to die. And a lot of people will rather, I'll see you in hell. I'm not going to change. With my dying breath, I'm going to hold on to my opinion and what I think is right. I'm still going to, my last breath, I'm not going to do what God wants. I'm going to do it my way. That you, God, anybody's going to make me change my mind. Okay. To turn somebody who's simple or stupid away from their stupidity, you got to understand. How many people have seen the cigarette ads about what cigarette smoke does to people's lungs? But cigarette sales to this day are still in the billions of dollars. We came up in the 80s and crack is whack. We're in the 2020s now, 40 years later. And it's gone from crack now to fentanyl.
They were going to raise the price of eggs, but the price of a carton of cigarettes has not gone up a dollar a cent.
Damn. I don't know if anybody heard that, but they said the carton of eggs is about to go to $12 a dozen, but the price of cigarettes hasn't risen. You can see all this around you. You can see how people follow their own minds all around you, but still refuse to change. The evidence is there. If you got a scientific mind, it's there. But nope, you're going to still keep doing you. You don't care what anybody says. This is scary. But this is really scary. That you just stuck on stupid. And in spite of, you got this Superman mentality like nothing can happen to you. And you're just going to keep doing things your way. It's sad. It's sad. And then the second part.
And the prosperity of fools shall destroy them.
The prosperity.
Prosperity. Advance or gain in anything good or desirable.
For a fool. To get any prosperity, get any advance or gain, prove it to this fool's mind that what he's doing is correct. Well, if God didn't want me to have it, then why'd he give it to me? Y'all must be tripping. Y'all can't tell me shit. See, y'all saying God's going to give me, but look at how I'm coming up. I get this, I got that. I got this is happening in my life. How are you going to tell me that God didn't give me all this? And I got all this without going to your stupid class or listening to your this or doing that or whatever. I'm coming up. And that destroys people because you think somehow God's on your side. You really got sold a dream, a delusion. The prosperity of fools, the advance or gain in anything good or desirable. You get the desires of your heart, totally, totally forgetting the scripture that says, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You work hard to get that thing you want, but at what cost? What kind of calamity now that you have to be hit with? How great of a calamity are you about to get hit with? Because now you've just been so worn in your mind that you could be as stubborn and that your way is right without scriptures. That what it is you keep gaining is proof you're using wisdom. It's proof you're doing things the right way and that, you know what, all that Bible talk is just too much. It's too heavy. Prosperity is success or progress in any business or enterprise. I'm success. Look, I got my mindset on this, and I'm putting all my energy, all my heart and soul into this, and I don't have time for the scriptures. I don't got time for the Bible. I got to work on this because I got to make this happen. Okay. Is God with Donald Trump?
He's not with Biden either.
One of the richest men in America, Donald Trump. Do you really believe God has blessed him? But you know what fools will do? They won't read the Bible, but they'll go read books that Donald Trump wrote. Because he's successful. Because he made it. I'm not going to read the Bible, but I'm going to go read whatever. So I can be successful. Success, attainment of the object desired. I'm a fool. I follow my own mind. I'm stubborn. And I'm getting the objects that I desire. That's going to destroy you. Let's see what the 1913 says. Gotcha.
Pretty much the same thing.
Webster's 1913 version. Prosperity, the state of being prosperous, advance or gain in anything good or desirable. Successful progress in any business or enterprise. Okay. Attainment of the object desired, good fortune, success as commercial prosperity, national prosperity.
Well, we know national prosperity doesn't apply to us right now. Our nation ain't back home. So it says, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Verse 33.
We're going to finish it up. I got you. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 33. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil.
Well, whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. We make God our protection by obeying God, by doing those intangible things that God loves, those intangibles that only God sees. He is our safety. He is our stability in the midst of whatever might be going on. In the midst of pandemics, in the midst of losing money, whatever it might be, we know we're still doing things that please the Most High, because we're literally studying and obeying His word. So with that, the lady on chime to let us know that time is expired for tonight. I do want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank my nephews and my sons for reading with me tonight. Appreciate that. Want to give all praise to the Most High in Christ. Here we go. And then with that, please tune in tomorrow night as Bonabai will be holding down class on Friday. He'll be on that class on Friday on Blog Talk. It'll be starting at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time or 7 o'clock Texas Time. All right? So with that, Israel, my name is Mashaba. Thank you for sharing the show. If you have any questions, you can text me, 210-784-8463. 210-784-8463. And with that, Israel, we're going to say shalom.
Shalom.
The pizza should be here in about